Thanks, Debbie, for taking the time today to come on the show. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Pat. I'm excited to be here.
Debbie, let's start off. Tell us a bit about yourself and your business.
So my name's Debbie. I'm a multi-site childcare operator. So I have a handful of locations, primarily in Halton. I've been in the childcare industry for 24 years now. And prior to that, I was a child and youth worker working with high-risk children, youth, and families.
So tell us about the daycares. What makes them unique? What makes them different?
Well, childcare is really exciting. You get little babies and getting to see the development and the milestones and new young families. It's just, honestly, this sounds really cheesy, but it really is a beautiful thing. Especially coming from the high-risk sector into childcare, it's really such a breath of fresh air to see mostly families that are doing things so wonderfully and are really engaged with their children. You know, for us, our childcare centers, we are family-owned and operated. So my mom started the first childcare center. I eventually bought it off of her when she retired. My daughter now finished her ECE diploma and she's getting her degree. So it really, again, family-owned and operated. So those values, we really want that to transfer into the care of the children from the educators. We even had at one point an infant child whose grandmother got hired by the center. She's still with us today. And her mom also ended up working with us in the summers when she wasn't in school because she was studying to be an EA. So again, you know, that family thread really touches in everything that we do.
And you have three locations now, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And are they all around the same geographical area?
Yeah, they're not far from each other. From the furthest one to the next, they're probably about 20-minute drive. So nothing unreasonable. So we're always able to hop between locations as needed to help out.
So Debbie, in the childcare industry, educate me here a bit. Is there I assume there's a radius around a center that you draw from, and what is the extent of that radius?
You know, yes, there is a radius. Usually you're looking at around 15 kilometers, but since the inception of CWELC, the Canada-wide childcare agreement, parents are really commuting out of their way for those discounted childcare fee spots. So I've heard of families driving half an hour out of their way to get into a CWELC center. So my centers are all part of that CWELC agreement.
Okay.
And we do have families that are, I mean, it's really sad when you hear how far they're commuting to get a childcare spot that's affordable for that family.
And can you tell our listeners who may not be aware of what that program is, what that looks like?
So it's a great program in its investment in quality and affordable childcare for families, because childcare is really expensive to operate. So the goal is to reduce the price down to $10 a day. That's a very ambitious goal because, again, childcare is really expensive to operate. So unfortunately, the government has missed almost all of its targets as part of this program. So I'm also the Ontario chair for an association called ACE. It's the Association of Childcare and Early Learning Programs. We represent private, not-for-profit, home care, licensed childcare operators, not only in Ontario, but across Canada. And so we've created a 10-point plan to kind of help guide the government where here's ways that we can make this program more effective, more efficient, without necessarily investing a ton more money, but redirecting some of the funding that we already have that might be duplicated or just a little bit unnecessary.
And just so I'm clear, this is all provincial jurisdiction, correct? It's not a federal initiative?
Well, CWELC was federally brought in, but childcare is provincially jurisdiction.
Okay. And how does someone qualify for that? I don't call it a subsidy. How would you term that?
Yeah, it is a subsidy program. Different municipalities have different requirements. In the beginning, when it rolled out, every center was able to join part. Now there's limited funding. They've kind of run out. So it's only if funding becomes available that each region is able to expand. Some regions are only going to expand using a not-for-profit model. Unfortunately, those centers are also hard to find, hard to come by. You know, there's not a lot of money in that pool either. So this is why we want the government to, instead of trying to expand or to build out and spend millions and millions of dollars, there's a lot of centers that are sitting empty because they're not in CWELC. So what if we looked at those centers and gave them a lifeline, because they're at risk of closing, by saying, hey, you know what? We have a lot of low-income families who are being pushed out of the system as per the Auditor General report. Let's get them in these subsidized spaces at these programs that are not part of CWELL. They still sign a memorandum of understanding with the region. They still have accountability. We're all licensed and regulated by the same body, so the quality really shouldn't matter. It should be the same across the board. We're heavily regulated. But then those low-income families have access to quality childcare that's affordable.
So Debbie, is there a risk here of some of these childcare places closing down?
Absolutely.
And then where do the kids end up going? How does that, like, where do the kids end up going? What are the options after that?
Good luck, because all the centers are full.
Right.
So, you know, somebody, usually the woman, unfortunately, is either going to have to reduce her hours and go to part-time work, or she leaves her field entirely until her kids start kindergarten.
Wow. I want to circle back. You mentioned that your mom started the first one and you purchased it from her. So the entrepreneurial journey that you went on, was it something that you came to naturally because you saw your mom going through it?
My parents are both very entrepreneurial, so it was part of our ecosystem growing up. So before my mom opened the first childcare center, I had wanted to open a facility for high-risk youth. But in that interim, I did want to go back to school and further my education. And my mom was opening the first center. So she said, why don't you come help me here? Help me get it going. And I did, and I loved it. And I was like, wow, this is really easy in comparison to working with the high-risk sector. As enthusiastic as I was about that work as well, because it is really important. Long-term childcare as a woman and as a mother, I wasn't a mother at the time, I knew that this would be more in line with a schedule that would work for around my family.
Okay. So there was not a struggle then for you from transition from employee to entrepreneurship?
No, because to be honest, even when I worked for another organization, I always took my work really seriously. I was always somebody who went above and beyond for my clients, for my employer. I know that it's hard to find great employees, and I can honestly say that I was a great employee, and I loved the team that I worked for. And I know that to this day I could call them up if I have questions, and we are still on great relationship.
That's great. Your model, you have the three locations. Before we went live here, we talked a little bit about your dipping your toe in the franchised waters. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Okay.
So around COVID, I'd been asked by a few people about franchising. So I dipped my toe into that water. It's been really busy. We do get a lot of inquiries for people who want to sign up. So we've had a couple of people sign on. We're just trying to find the right location. Under CWELC, there's only certain areas and jurisdictions that are deemed high priority. It doesn't make sense in this market to open a center outside of a CWELC priority zone. Because if you're not in CWELC, your viability goes down significantly. Also, I'm really particular about who I want to sign up. I want somebody who's going to be hands-on involved. I get a lot of inquiries from people who are, you know, business people who are just like, what's the bottom line? How much money am I going to get out of this? And, you know, obviously as an entrepreneur, as a business person, there needs to be money at the end because we're not working Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. That can't be the driver, especially in childcare. I really believe in that kind of people over profit model that, you know, when things go sideways, there's not enough money in the world some days, you know what I mean?
Right.
So that can't be the single motivator. And especially with the changes that have happened to our industry, there are times where you're not going to be as profitable, you know, and then what? Because if you're only there for the money and you have no heart in it, it's not going to be enough for you to want to really commit to your team and to the families that you serve.
So that's interesting. You don't know this about me, but part of my background is helping build out franchise organizations, especially on the marketing operations side. And it's interesting you hit on a really key comment here, is that especially for your industry, it's got to be owner operator, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, you can't just have, and that's true in the food services industry. Now, you know, the larger franchise models like a Tim Hortons, well, of course, you can have an investor parachute in and buy multiple locations and run them that way. But something like a child care center, I would think, is such an intimate relationship that if they're not hands-on, that it won't succeed. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. You see a huge discrepancy between centers that are kind of like invisibly operated versus ones that are hands-on. I mean, I'm on site on the regular basis. A couple weeks ago, I stepped into the kitchen at one of the centers because the cook was off and we were a bit short-staffed. I mean, that's definitely not the day-to-day for me, but I am willing and able to jump in at any time as needed. And I think that also gives me a lot of credibility with my team where they see me as a resource. And that if they're having a challenge, that they can call me and I will, come on site if I need to and have those conversations with parents, with educators, with the managers, whatever needs to be done.
So is that a very common objection when someone lo is looking at franchising with you, that they just want to be an investor, and when they find out it's owner
Absolutely.
op, yeah, I could see that. Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for myself as well, I don't want, and I'll get onto meetings with great people. But the minute I smell that, I tell them, like, this is not for hands-off operators. This
Yeah.
is you are there full time, at least until the center gets established and stable. We all know the growing pains of a new business. You've got to be there all the time. That's the reality of it. No one is going to run your business the way that you would. And it's a huge investment opening a childcare center. You're looking at least $1 million, which is the other barrier to entry for people, is that financial side. That, sure, maybe you might be able to open a smaller type of a food service store for under $100,000. That's not childcare. The
Yeah.
build out, the construction, the legal requirements, fire requirements, ministry requirements, it just makes it such a huge investment. I would never hand something like that over to somebody that I met in an interview for 10 minutes to run.
Right. Take us through. So you had the one location initially, and then what made you go to a second one? Was it strictly the demand was there, or
The
what?
demand has consistently been there, absolutely. Also, I love to do a lot of different things. And for me, honestly, opening a new center, it's like Christmas. It's really exciting. It's so engaging. I love meeting the new team, meeting new families and new children. I truly find it really rewarding. And so in the franchising model, it was giving that to another, this is a very pink-collared industry. So giving that to another woman where she can have more control and autonomy over her life and have a business that is family friendly, where you can be home for dinners. Because I know that, my friends that commute to Toronto, we're just outside of Toronto, they're getting home at 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
That's a different challenge that they face that I was really fortunate that I never had to face.
So take us through kind of the marketing side of this business. Is it a function of you open up a center and people are drawn to it, or do you really have to market each location?
Each location has its different challenges around marketing. A lot of our locations are in a plaza within walking distance of elementary schools, right in a residential community. The newest location in Mississauga, it's in a little bit more of a commercial zone, so we're away from the houses, so we've had to do more social media marketing. I think that's where everybody is. And with targeted ads, you can really narrow down your geographical location, the age of the demographic, what their interests are. So it's a lot more of that type of marketing that we've been doing. Also, it's word of mouth, right? Happy parents tell their friends and their neighbors where they are, and then they come over and, even like their nephews, their nieces. It's just amazing the trickle effect of where families come in from.
What advice would you give to someone that's listening that owns a business that may be struggling? Like, I'm sure you've had your struggles. I've had my struggles.
Oh,
Maybe
always.
entrepreneurs have their
Yeah.
struggles. So
Every.
what advice would you give to someone?
Number one is I always ask myself when I'm in a struggle, how did I get here? Where did I zig where I should have probably zagged, right? Because as the owner, unfortunately, we are responsible for everything that happens in our business. So that self-accountability, I think, is really important to, and that reflection of how did we get here? And then the second of that being, how do we get out of here now? Right? Because if we're not doing that reflective piece, that same mistake is just going to keep happening until we've learned our lesson and we learn, okay, we need to shift and move in a different direction or whatnot.
Why do you think entrepreneurs struggle with doing that process? Because
Oh,
I
it's
think
so
they do.
hard. It is. It's really hard, right? Because it's so easy to blame somebody else for when things go wrong. And taking accountability is really hard and it's embarrassing. And I've had that with my team where I've said to them, look, I messed up. I should have done this. I thought this was the, and we walk through the process together of how we ended up here and what decisions got made that ended us there. And then, okay, now how do we shift away from that? What changes do we need to make so that this doesn't happen again?
Do you feel
it's a
that,
learning process.
yeah, it's always, isn't it? It's always a
Yes.
learning process in running
Yes.
a business. Debbie, do you think part of that reflection should also be on appreciating how far the person has come?
Yeah, there's a part for that as well. There is, because yeah, we're all growing all the time. But if we're not doing that reflection and that really hard, ugly work, our development is really going to be stunted. As people, as professionals, no matter what your industry is, I think that's pretty universal.
And what advice would you give to someone that's listening that is thinking of starting a business but just can't seem to go across that finish line and get started?
It is really scary. I give them that absolutely. I think that, number one is definitely knowing the industry that you're getting into. I think a lot of people, and I've seen it happen even in childcare, where they look at childcare operators and centers as a model and they think, wow, there's a great way to make a lot of money and it looks so easy and you just hire other people. You want to, when you're taking over a business or establishing, creating a business, know every part of that business and really understand it so that, if things really truly go sideways and you're the only person there, that you can do all of those different jobs and you can take on those roles, that you're not beholden to somebody who maybe isn't the greatest employee, but oh, but they're the ones that know how to run my business. Then you've kind of flipped that dynamic, right? Where I don't know how to explain this really clearly, but you really want to be able to control the narrative in your business and be able to make those tough decisions. If someone's not working out, that you can let them go and you can take over until you find a replacement for that person.
I think the number one fear that wannabe entrepreneurs have is on the finance side of things. Maybe you could talk a bit about that. How did you overcome that mentally, making that kind of final leap?
Yeah. It was a pretty scary conversation with my husband because we had to, get a second mortgage on our house to pay for the loan that we took on to buy the business. But it kind of starts earlier than that because we were savers. So we were putting away money for something. We didn't even really know what it was at the time, but it's so important to save money. And I think that's something a lot of people really struggle with. So that definitely helped. And then of course you've got to go to the bank and apply for a business loan and make sure that you know the math and you've given yourself an extra 3 to 6 months of operating expenses in case nothing comes in. I mean, look at COVID. Well-established businesses weren't able to survive after COVID. Even if you had done the right thing and saved that 3 to 6 months, there were businesses that were out of business for 2 years.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned 3 to 6 months because the old standard used to be 3 months set aside. Mm-hmm. I've always felt it should be minimum 6 months.
Yeah.
Not for, pandemic type situations, because I don't think anybody can plan for those personally or
no,
professionally.
Of course.
But you do have to be prepared that there's going to be some lean times in your business.
Yes.
That's just a reality.
Yeah.
I think sometimes, shows like Dragon's Den or Shark Tank, they almost do a disservice to
Yeah.
entrepreneurship because they tend to only show the companies that have rocketed to growth.
Yes.
Well, that's less, significantly less than 1% of all new businesses
Right.
have that type of growth. The other ones,
Yeah.
It's more of a jagged line going up, right? There's dips
Exactly.
and there's valleys, but there's also
Yeah.
Upturns but there's hills to climb. So I think that 6 months is a minimum.
Absolutely. And, in childcare, people think that it's just a straight rocket lineup because, oh, everybody needs childcare. Our industry is always changing. In 2010, full day kindergarten rolled out. So we had 48 spaces that now sat empty because those kids were at kindergarten and no longer in our childcare center. So we had to shift and pivot and turn those rooms into a preschool room, into a toddler room, get the room relicensed because you have to get approval from the ministry to do anything to these rooms, Then we used to do before and after school care, and in around 2017, the government put that into the school system. So again, we lost all those children. Well, now what?
Yeah.
You know, then we put in infant rooms, and then the government said, oh, you know what, we're going to give moms the option to stay with their babies until they're 18 months old. Well, now they're not an infant anymore. You know, things are always happening that are out of your control, and you've got to be prepared.
It sounds like, especially in your industry, it's so much of the government regulation that comes into play or gets taken out of play has such an impact on your industry, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah. Before we let you go, Debbie, where can our listeners find out more about your child care centers?
I mean, online, littlekidsdaycarecenter.com. We are in Oakville, and we have a new location in Mississauga. At the QEW in Winston Churchill in the Sheridan Park area. And I know that they have some spaces still available. But yeah, we're always here to help families, and I always try to be a resource to other operators as well. So we always look forward to hearing from people.
Great. Thanks so much for doing this today, Debbie. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me, Pat.